And thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Sometime before summer starts, the U.S. Supreme Court will decide the fate of California's Reproductive FACT Act. FACT stands for Freedom, Accountability, Comprehensive Care, and Transparency. The law essentially requires pregnancy clinics that do not provide abortions to post signs saying abortions are available elsewhere. A lawsuit against the law defeated it in a lower court, and that's how it ended up in Washington. Justices heard arguments a month ago, and we heard from the California Pro-Life Council about its opposition to the law in late March. Today we hear from Amy Everett, the state director of NARAL Pro-Choice California, who pushed for the passage of the FACT Act. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
This seems relatively fast in legal terms. I mean, the act is only 3 years old and already heard by the Supreme Court. Take us back to what created the move to get it passed in the first place.
Sure. You know, for many years, NARAL affiliates around the country and the national organization have been tracking sort of this insidious threat to women's health known as fake women's health centers. And what they are organizations that are on the ground operations with national multimillion dollar umbrella organizations backing them that advertise and look for all intents and purposes like an abortion providing clinic. And except that when you go in and you get the so-called counseling, they actually have one agenda. And that agenda is to stop any and all women from accessing abortion care and in many cases also birth control. And so what we have found, and there's even a documentary called 12 in Delaware about it, is that a lot of women find themselves, you know, scared and vulnerable and looking for answers and information, and they go to the internet, and what comes up are these fake clinics, and they spend their time and their energy going there until they realize that's not the information they were looking for. And so the FACT Act really came about as a way to say, hey, you know, women, you know, California has always been a pioneer in terms of women's reproductive health. And we have some amazing public policies. We have public funding for prenatal care and for birth control and for abortion care. And what we were finding is that not only were women who are being misled and duped into going to fake women's health centers, but women who are actually walking into real clinics didn't know about all the programs that California had available to them. And so that is really where this law came from. It was an opportunity to make sure that women, no matter where they were seeking information, were able to access information about the programs that California offers.
So if they're in a real medical clinic, but that doesn't provide abortion, the sign will tell them there are other places you can get an abortion.
It doesn't even say that. It says the state of it's a very simple 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that says the state of California offers free or low cost financial support for prenatal care, abortion access, and all FDA approved forms of contraception. If you'd like more information about accessing any of those, call the your local social services office.
And I noticed, too, that not only is the wording very specific, but you mentioned it has to be 8.5 by 11, and the type has to be no less than 22 points, or you can hand it out to people in 14-point type, or you have a digital notice distributed to all clients that can be read at the time of check-in or arrival. Now, what? So this is aimed specifically, because I noticed there are two different categories of facility listed in the FACT Act, a licensed covered facility and an unlicensed covered facility. Can you differentiate those for us?
Sure. So there are two kinds of facilities. One that does not have a medical license. It's basically just, you know, volunteers or trained by these anti-choice groups. But they still advertise as if they're providing medical care. As Justice Sotomayor pointed out when she looked online, you go to the web, you look for them online and it comes up and it says we offer, you know, information about all your options. You go to the website, they have pictures of people wearing, white medical labs. They talk about testing. But the reality is that they don't have a medical license. And so one part of this law basically says if you don't have a medical license, you need to advertise that. People, when they are looking for medical care, deserve to know upfront if they're talking with a licensed medical professional or not. At the same time, there are other clinics that do have medical licenses, and that for them, that is the group that is required to post the signage about places to access the programs that the state of California offers.
I just noticed for the first time that the wording for the unlicensed facilities that say this facility is not licensed as a medical facility by the state of California, and there's another sentence involved there, that has to be in 48-point type.
Mm-hmm.
So very big stuff. So we're talking about the places that were targeted here were the so-called crisis pregnancy centers, the CPCs. I mean, what kinds of techniques were being used?
You know, if you were to type in abortion in almost any city, we've been working a lot with Google, so it's gotten better. But probably in the top three or four returns that you get, they're going to be these fake women's health centers, also known as crisis pregnancy centers. And so it starts there. If you call and ask specifically about abortion care, they won't tell you they don't offer it. They'll tell you you need to come in and talk with them. And when you arrive, it isn't as if they're advertising their anti-choice, pro-life perspective. They're purposely deceiving women to get them to come into the door. In fact, many of them locate very close to real clinics, to Planned Parenthoods and other independent clinics. They use the same kind of names. And in some instances, they literally will be across the street or in the same medical center, and they will purposely intervene, go up to women going into a center and say, hey, you need to first come to our clinic. This is where you should go. So once you're in there, you fill out your forms like you're at a medical, like a regular medical facility. You are instructed to go into a waiting room. You do your pregnancy test. And in many of these places, because there's no medical provider, you actually, it's just a drugstore pregnancy test that you administer yourself and you read yourself. And then you are brought into the back room where the counseling begins, where they tell you that, you know, the results of your test aren't going to be ready for a long time, and in reality it only takes 2 to 5 minutes. And they keep you there, and that's when they begin to talk to you about your options. They ask you invasive questions about your religious affiliation and beliefs.
Amy, when you say keep you there, in what sense? We're not talking physical restraint, are we?
Well, no, but you walk in and they close the door. And they say, you know, we'll get your results in a little bit, and in the meantime, let's talk about it. And so women haven't reported, you know, being forced to stay, but they're sitting there, and they still think they're in an actual medical clinic that's going to be providing them with the information that they want, and they don't feel like they can get up and leave until, you know, the counseling is over.
Amy Evert is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the state director of NARAL Pro-Choice California and was instrumental in pushing for the passage of the California FACT Act, which the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments for a month ago in Washington. You can join the conversation on the exchange, pro or con, on the California FACT Act and what it seeks to do. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Did you want somewhat stronger language that ended up getting included in the final bill, Amy?
You know, when we were crafting this bill, we worked on it with Black Women for Wellness and then Attorney General Kamala Harris. And we built it based on other legislation and other court cases that had occurred around these fake women's health centers. And so what we really strove to do was create a bill that would help women access the public health, the health care services that they actually wanted to access, and do so in a way that was respectful of people's, you know, viewpoint and free speech. And, you know, I think we did kind of nail it, to be honest, in that the statement that people have to post, that all clinics need to post, is viewpoint neutral. It is just about California state programs. It does not impact what is said inside the clinic in any way. So the anti-choice counselors can say anything that they want, but they also post a sign, so if women are interested in free and low-cost services, they can access them. And that's another technique. They really target low-income women and communities of color who are looking for, you know, there's huge health disparities in those communities, and they're looking to fill that gap with their agenda.
So you're saying within the transaction then with the person who comes in to use the facility for whatever the purpose may be, nothing in that transaction is dictated by this law? Nothing said by a provider?
Correct.
Or anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
And yet, you know, the argument that was made before the Supreme Court and lower court as well was that this is forced speech by having to post that sign. This is not free speech, this is forced speech.
I was dumbfounded, especially when these are the same. I mean, the lawyers defending this, the Alliance Defending Freedom, you know, are actually the proponents of laws in other states that actually literally require abortion providers, doctors, to inform their patients before they access care a whole host of medical lies. I mean, literally, I'm required by the state of Mississippi, Louisiana, wherever, to tell you that, you know, a pregnancy will end a child's life, that you could be infertile, you could get breast cancer, all these lies that have been discredited by the American College of OBGYNs and other doctors. And for them to stand up and actually defend that law and then try and attack this one is somewhat dumbfounding.
So the same people, you're saying, the Alliance Defending Freedom is behind those laws that require things to be said by people providing abortions in other states.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Sharpen Foundation versus Kamala Harris was the vehicle that got to the Supreme Court. What was the essence of the law, the complaint? I mean, the lawsuit.
You know, so I'm not a lawyer, so let me be clear about that.
Okay.
But it was, they brought the lawsuit, and let's be clear. So the bill was signed by Governor Jerry Brown, and within 5 days, four federal lawsuits were filed. And so they went to every federal court in California. And basically they were going on the, they were challenging it on free speech, as you outlined earlier, and on religious freedom. And all four of those federal courts threw out their request for an injunction, saying that they felt that this was a law that was going to have constitutional standing. And then they appealed it to the Ninth Circuit, which also agreed with the four lower courts. So we have five federal courts determining that this is a constitutional law and refusing to file the injunction.
So they wouldn't, wouldn't stop it, in other words, at that moment.
Right. And so it became a law that was enforced, and the city attorney of L.A. started enforcement strategies and others around the state. And then they appealed it to the Supreme Court, who reached down. And let's be really clear, there has been no actual trial or hearing on any of these cases. There's been no discovery. There's been no testimony. There's been no record created for the Supreme Court to point to, which is something that Justice Breyer pointed out numerous times.
Which was my next question. The ruling from the lower court was only Halloween of last year. How did it get to the Supreme Court so fast?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems, and again, I'm not a lawyer, it just seems like they literally just reached down and picked this one up. I mean, there has been a weaponization of free speech. We see tons of cases being brought by the far right to the Supreme Court to, you know, create a free speech environment that protects, you know, a very limited viewpoint at the expense of many others, at the expense of the LGBT community, at the expense of women's public health.
Amy Everett, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the state director of NARAL Pro-Choice California. We're talking about the California FACT Act, which the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on in March. Did you get a chance to listen to much of the argument?
You know, it was an amazing moment. I was actually in the court for the argument.
And what was that like? Had you been in the Supreme Court before?
No, I haven't. It was the first time I was ever there, and it was pretty, you know, awesome. You walk in and the justices walk in, and then, you know, for me, you know, you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor talking about a bill I was involved in. It was really an amazing moment.
Although you also had Justice Samuel Alito talking about a law you were involved in, and he was fairly hard on it. No surprise there.
Yeah, no surprise there. Mm-hmm. You know, and the justices ask tough questions. That's what they do. But the FACT Act is there's complicated arguments, but the FACT Act is a simple law, and it's based on a simple principle that women deserve the truth and not to be deceived. And I think that many of the justices really got the heart of that.
At least in the media representations of what happened in the court that day, and of course they you know, it's hard to take several hours worth of testimony and boil it down to what an NPR ends up being, a 4-minute story. What did you perceive in the arguments or the questioning of Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
You know, I think that they were looking at a long game in terms of legal strategy, and they were trying to get things on the record and really understand different perspectives. Which I thought was, you know, an important avenue to look at. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really analyze what all this means. There are other people who do that much better than me. But I think the bottom line is that deceiving and manipulating pregnant women is not a free speech right, and I'm confident the court is going to reject the plaintiff's efforts to rewrite the First Amendment.
So is the purpose of the lawsuit just to invalidate the FACT Act? I mean, do they want to just wipe the whole thing off the books or just certain portions of it?
You know, this is what I know, and that is the Supreme Court only took this case up on the free speech issue, not the freedom of religion issue. So I believe, my understanding is that once you're at the Supreme Court, they can invalidate the whole thing. They can remand it back down to the lower courts for actual trial and testimony. Or they can, you know, rule on different parts of the law.
Mm-hmm. So all you can do now is just wait until June or so until the decision is handed down?
Yes, but we're not waiting quietly. We think it is really important that the public is aware of what these fake health centers do and how they prey upon women and how how dangerous it is for pregnant women and the health of not only their continued pregnancies but also their access to abortion care and birth control. So we are moving throughout the country with different outreach and on the ground activities. In California, we had about 100 people out over the last week canvassing and raising awareness. So the fight doesn't end just because oral arguments happened. It's really important that everyone realize what's at stake in this case. And at its core, it's that pregnant women should not be lied to about their medical options.
And as you point out, the FACT Act remains in the book, so the postings are required still, yes?
Yes.
All right. Amy Everett is our guest on The Exchange. State Director of NARAL Pro-Choice California pushed for the passage of the California FACT Act. We should hear within about 2 months from the Supreme Court about its decision on that case. Amy, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.